Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, mystery seekers. My name is Marek Larwood, and welcome to The Mysterious Isle, a podcast in which I would investigate the strange and peculiar goings-on that take place on the diamond-shaped island that sits across the Solent at the base of the United Kingdom. I'm talking, of course, about the Isle of Wight. This episode is The Miracle of the Model Village. God's Hill, what is it? Is it a smaller version of Mount Sinai where God appeared and gave Moses the Ten Commandments? No, it's not, mate. God's Hill is the place you see on most of the Isle of Wight postcards. It's the one with the thatched cottages and the nice church. That's God's Hill. No one who lives on the Isle of Wight ever goes to God's Hill. The only people in God's Hill are tourists wandering around wondering, what am I doing in God's Hill? God's Hill is famous for its model village, which is 1/10 the size of Old Shanklin. And there's even a model village within the model village. And rumour has it, this is where Christopher Nolan got the idea for the film Inception. Nothing ever happens in God's Hill. So little that in fact when most people send their postcards of God's Hill to relatives, they're left completely blank. So it was surprising when Stephen Hendry, not the snooker player, got in touch with his incredible tale, and the backdrop was God's Hill.
Hello, thanks very much for agreeing to speak to me, Stephen. Just get this straight, first of all, you're not Stephen Hendry.
No, I'm Stephen Hendry.
It sounds exactly the same, mate.
Yeah, no, but on paper it's different, as it's a V instead of the PH, you see, and two E's instead of the Y.
Oh, so Stephen Hendry.
That's it, yeah.
So not Stephen Hendry.
Right.
Stephen
well,
Hendry.
Well, also I like to think I'm better than, you know, the other Stephen Hendry at snooker.
And on what grounds are you better than him?
Well, I'm unbeaten.
How many times have you played snooker then?
None.
Right, so according to your theory, if you've never played a sport, you'd automatically be better than someone who had been playing it for their whole lives and then maybe just lost once.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Well, you just said that.
Okay, well, I am saying that.
Right, listen, this isn't big break, Stephen. Can we just, you know, hear the story? Just go for the story, please.
Yeah, sure. So, I was on holiday on the Isle of Wight because I've been banned from Spain. And I thought I'd do something for the kids, you know, something that they'd enjoy. So I decided to go to the model village in God's Hill.
So this is you and your wife and your kids?
No, I'm divorced, as it happens, and the wife does actually have custody of the kids.
Oh, right, so, but the kids were with you for the holiday, they're not?
No.
So hang on a minute, so why did you do something that you thought the kids would enjoy if they weren't with you?
It's because I could tell them about it and they'd want to spend more time with me, I think.
Oh, and then they would think, oh, you know, our life is much more fun when we're with Dad.
Yeah, that's it.
And then eventually they would go, oh, right, you know, this is a much better lifestyle. So they just have a word with their mum and she didn't want to have anything to do with you. So the only choice they've got is to initiate court proceedings, and that overturns the original custody their mum's got, and they have to come live with you.
Precisely, yeah.
And then, so hopefully your wife would break down having lost the kids, and she'd regret leaving in the first place. So sorry, I'm presuming that it was she left you.
Yes, she did, yeah.
Well, that sounds like a very clever plan, Stephen. So, sorry, can you continue?
Yeah, no, so I was looking around the model village, and one of the attendants comes up to me and says, "Oh, you can't drink that in here."
Right. What were you drinking?
A bottle of gin. Yeah. Bottle of Gordon's, I think it was. No, Sapphire. It was a gift.
Right. I mean, to be fair, that is more of a ride high street type of thing to do. I mean, did you get kicked out of?
No. I said I'm not drinking anything. And I put the bottle down. Although to some people it would have looked like I threw it aggressively into the model of the church, causing severe damage to the structure and destroying a few of the models.
So, which one was it? Did you put it down or did you throw it at the church?
I like to think that I put it down, you know. But then the attendant bloke goes, "You've just, got your son in serious trouble, mate." And then all of a sudden I had this incredible feeling. It was extraordinarily painful.
What, the attendant was kicking you in the balls?
No, he was. He was actually nowhere near me. It was this awful sensation, like, have you ever been struck by lightning?
No.
Okay. Have you ever been hit by a car?
No, not yet.
Have you ever covered hair straighteners with, let's say, grit and stuck that up your arse, full pelt? Never done that?
Well, I can't sort of say 100% either way, really.
Well, it was, it's kind of all three of these things all thrown together, if you can kind of picture that, which obviously you can't. But anyway, I passed out for a few minutes and then I woke up and it seemed as though I was in exactly the same place as before, but somehow it was different.
Well, because, maybe because you were lying down?
No, it's because all the people were models. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Sorry. So let me get this straight. You're saying that you were somehow magically shrunk into model size in the model village.
Yeah. It seems crazy. I know.
No, it seems like bollocks, Stephen. So if you're a model in this model village, how did you survive?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, Marek, it was terrifying at first. Initially I was just trying to escape the feet of tourists, giant shoelaces coming swinging at your full pelt, and as you can imagine, being that small. Luckily, it was mainly old people who actually moved very slow, so it was all right.
How long were you a model size for, then?
A year.
A whole year?
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry, Stephen, but you better not be bullshitting me, because this is a serious podcast, mate. And I don't want my investigative credentials, to be undermined by some prick taking the piss.
No, I'm not taking the piss, mate. I wouldn't do that.
Oh, right, so what did you have to eat and drink then for this whole year?
Well, I was in despair, so I just drank the rest of the bottle of gin that I'd thrown at the church. Then I survived on, berries, kind of bits of food that the tourists would drop. I mean, it's doable.
At no point did you think, right, I'm going to try and communicate with someone to try and help me?
Oh, no, I did think about that. But then my mind started wondering. I thought, if I kind of go for help, people, I could end up in some kind of laboratory, having my dick cut off, my head shaved, shit like that. So they could try and work out why I'd shrunk. So I thought I'd just keep a low profile and just try and work things out myself. You know what I mean?
So you didn't communicate with anyone because you were worried they were going to cut your dick off? Yeah. Okay, so it must have been, pretty lonely then, having to spend a whole year by yourself.
See, you would think that, wouldn't you? But actually, you get used to it after a while. You know, it's nice to have a bit of space, a bit of time to yourself. You know.
And you had no human company whatsoever.
Well, I mean, obviously, I had a couple of relationships. Yeah, sure.
What do you mean, a couple of relationships?
Well, you know, like I dated a couple of the models. You know, I've always wanted to date a model, so I suppose, you know, that was a wish come true, really, in that respect.
Well, I don't know what it is with this podcast and people getting off with inanimate objects, because these are plastic figures in a model for Christ. That...
Well, there was actually a plastic figure of Christ as well, but I did not have a relationship with him.
Right.
Yeah. But he actually took quite a lot of the, you know, the gym bottle.
Well, I don't know if I want to hear this anymore, because last episode there was a woman getting off with a plasticized model, and now you're doing it. And to be quite honest, I'm sorry, Stephen, but it makes me want to be sick.
But the thing is, Mark, it's 2018, and I like to think that in the future people will be more open-minded, you know, and it would be acceptable for people to have relationships with an inanimate object.
All right, mate. You know, I don't want you using this podcast as some sort of mouthpiece for your sick perversions. And if you were really shrunk for a year, tell me, why don't your family alert the police and then tell them that you're missing?
Because I wrote them a postcard just telling them what was going on.
What, that you were getting off with an inanimate object?
Well, not that bit, obviously.
Well, you wrote them a postcard. What? You wrote them a postcard, you say?
Yeah.
What, a normal-sized postcard?
Yes.
Well, how did you do that then?
You know, I can't remember off the top of my head. I think I was drunk.
What, drunk enough that you could hold a massive pen twice your body weight?
Yes, I'd had like 3 droplets of gin that night. And some bits were a little fuzzy.
Right, so you did this postcard, you got off with some plastic models, and then what happened a year later?
Well, funnily enough, I had that similar feeling again, you know, with the hair straighteners and the gravel. But this time, it felt very, very similar, but like the hair straighteners were being pulled back out my arse. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I sort of understand a little bit. So, and then you had that feeling of the hair straighteners being pulled out of your arse.
Yeah.
And what, then you woke up normal size and everything was back to normal?
Yeah, all just normal again. Really weird, really weird stuff.
And I'm the first person you've told about this?
Well, you and the kids, yeah.
Right. Okay, I think I've spoken enough to you, Stephen, and I'm going to investigate this further.
Thank you.
I mean, I would say thank you for your time, but I feel a little bit disgusted. All right, good luck with the snooker.
Cheers, buddy. I'm not the snooker player.
Oh, yeah. Bye-bye.
Hello, listeners. If you enjoy this podcast, why not check out themysteriousisle.com, where there are links to the YouTube videos of The Mysterious Isle, another separate series. Also, if you want to support this podcast, go to mysteriousisle.com and you can donate, and you can receive rewards such as unbroadcast podcasts, unseen short films, and postcards and badges. Have a look on the website. Also follow at Mysterious Isle and at Marek Larwood. That's the advert. I went to the model village to find out the other side of Stephen's story, if there was one, and I managed to locate Herbert Downs, who was the attendant you may remember from Stephen's story. Here's what he had to say.
I remember the day very clearly. The gentleman in question was causing a not unconsiderable fracas. He was walking around swigging from a gin bottle and accusing models of staring at him. So I approached the gentleman and I informed him that he could not drink alcohol on the premises, at which point he then threw the bottle directly at a model church, causing a considerable damage. I was quite taken aback, but I told him to vacate the premises immediately. He bluntly refused and then began walking around shouting, I shouldn't really repeat these words, I'm the mother effing Gulliver of Doom, and then stamping on all the models. I immediately called the police, who arrived on the scene about 5 minutes later. The individual then got into a fight with the police whilst continuing to shout that he was a giant. And eventually, after more police assistance came, he was restrained and taken from the premises. I believe that several police officers were injured in the arrest, and as a result, he received a 12-month custodial sentence.
So there we have it. Stephen Hendry wasn't shrunken at all, but he just concocted the story so he could lie to his family about his 12-month prison stint. What an arsehole. But it's another mystery solved. It's time for the letters section.
Letter section. The letter section. The letter section.
Well, there are no letters because no one has written in. Oh, thanks a lot. If you do want to write in with your mysteries about anything, why not email themysteriousowl@gmail.com, and any letters will be much appreciated. Also, I'd like to thank Matt Skillington for appearing in this podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Skillington and his sketch group at Seldom Differ. Have a look at their YouTube videos. They're very good. Thanks for listening. And remember, stay safe.